Good afternoon, and welcome to Ferreycorp's special conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and welcome everyone to Ferreycorp's special conference call. Today, the company will provide a second update on current impact of COVID-19. Presenting on behalf of Ferreycorp is Mrs. Mariela Garcia, Chief Executive Officer. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. Also, please be advised that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, the forward-looking statements are based on several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mrs. Mariela Garcia, Chief Executive Officer of Ferreycorp. Mariela, please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Rafael. And good morning, everyone, and welcome to Ferreycorp's conference call. Thank you for participating. We see a few people with us today. Thank you very much. Thanks for joining us and for your interest in the company. We have organized this second call in order to provide an update on the business, our operations, and our view for the weeks to come as a result of the shutdown and a state of national emergency established by the government to contain the spread of coronavirus in Peru. I want to start by explaining where the focus of management has been in these last weeks. First, continue customer relationship, assessing the business environment for the months to come, and keeping contact with our represented brands for all around commercial aspects. Secondly, taking care of business continuity by controlling expenses, assuring access to cash, and working capital management. And thirdly, but most important of all, taking care of our employees, monitoring them every day, and prepare new standards and protocols to restart operations. I want to reinforce that we are ready to start operations as soon as the government allows us to do so. As we informed before, almost none of our activities have been exception from the shutdown and operation restrictions. Therefore, we have showed very little commercial activity during this period. Our sales during this week have been in a range of 20 to 30% compared to normal levels. At this moment, we are expecting to return to business in May and awaiting for government resolutions. Our view is that in May, we will start at a lower level and expect sales volume should return to normal one between August and September. Nevertheless, we have adjusted our sales projections for, or in that line, we have adjusted our sales projections for 2020 and expect a 10% decrease, or in the range of the 10% decrease, instead of a growth as we were projecting at the beginning of the year. As soon as we return to activity, we will adjust our estimates when we validate our perspective of the investment sentiment and requirements of equipment in the industries we serve. Regarding expenses, we've reduced discretionary expenses, including consulting, traveling, training, and events, among others. Also, we have taken some measures regarding personal expenses, employee pay reductions, and provisions for vacations. Our estimate of total reduction of expenses for the period April through December at this point is for $110 million. In April, we have adjusted expenses significantly with employees registering vacation. From May thereon, we estimate a 10 to 15% reduction in monthly expenses. We have also taken actions to improve our financial position and increase liquidity. We have drawn down $240 million since March 15, $24 million from local banks and $33 million from Caterpillar Financial. As a result, we have assured cash to cover expenses, payments to local suppliers, and importation of any required reposition of inventories, and to cover any contingency in the upcoming months. Regarding the maturity, $189 million are in the short term, mainly loans for 1 year, and $51 million is a medium-term debt, allowing us to change a little bit the profile of our debt maturity, but also increasing the average cost of debt that went from 3.19 to 3.5% at this moment, due to both major interest rates derived from the current financial market conditions and also the increase in medium-term borrowings. Also, let me inform that we have been in constant communication with our employees and supporting those that have been exposed to COVID, either themselves or their families, during the shutdown. At the same time, we have worked on new protocols and processes to restart operations, taking into consideration all of government requirements and also recommendations of our peers in the market regarding social distance, sanitary procedures, control of health condition, among others. In summary, we want to give your to give you confidence that we are constantly monitoring the situation and we have undertaken several actions and are ready to adjust them as the situation evolves. I need to positively acknowledge how the organization is navigating this challenging and extreme situation, controlling what we can, while at the same time keeping very close contact with customers and keeping our employees safe. We have been able to successfully get through difficult times over the last over almost 100 years of existence. Our experience and the support of our stakeholders gives us confidence that our strong business model, financial position, and resilience will continue to position us well. This is a very short presentation, so this concludes my presentation for today. We mainly wanted to put ourselves at your disposal for Q&A, but before that, I want also to announce that we will publish the first quarter financial statements next week. So today, we're not going to comment on such results, but after finishing this call, we will launch the invitation for our call, for another call on next Thursday. So that's everything I have for our presentation today, but let us go to the Q&A session, and we will be very glad to take all your questions. Thank you.
At this time, if we would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. One moment while we queue. And our first question comes from Tunde Ojo with Harding Loevner. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Mariela and the team. Thank you for the call. A couple of questions from me, from things you've mentioned before, but I didn't get it clearly. If you don't mind repeating what you said about the amount of new facilities you've drawn down since the start of this lockdown, and also you made some comments around sort of refinancing or rescheduling your debt. I didn't get those details clearly. And if you don't mind giving the amount of debt you have right now, just want to get a sense of where you are and maybe the cash level you have as well on your balance sheet. I mean, whatever period you wanted to disclose that, just to get a sense of some sort of financing maturity that you have going forward. That's my first question, and then I'll ask the other one subsequently. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Tunde. Thank you for participating in the call. So, yeah, what I mentioned, and sorry if I didn't pronounce correctly, we have drawn down $240 million in these last 2 months, 2 months and 1 week, mainly from banks, but also a portion of that comes from Caterpillar, more than $30 million. And this is allowing us to have the cash to cover the expenses and also payments to suppliers and any required reposition of inventories. No, that's what I mentioned through the call. Most of these 240 is still in the short term, but a year term, which today is really a medium term. And we are 190 million of those are in this short term, which is a year, and 51 in the medium term. So we are very, very satisfied with the level of cash we have today, and what will allow us to make face of any of our needs in the following weeks.
Okay, I get it. So you drill down 240 million to sort of repay 189 million in short term debt and 51 million in medium term debt. Is that correct?
So you know that we had a profile of debt that was not concentrated in the short term because we were taking advantage of lower interest rates. So when we so some of these drawings, most of these drawings is just to have the cash and be safe, no? As long as we go back to business and have a better temperature of what is going on, and gauge better the level of sales and also the level of receivable collections, we will be ready to give back that part of this cash, or most probably the medium term portion we will keep it, no? And pay other short terms, no?
So this is additional debt. Okay, go ahead.
This is additional debt, and from this 240, only 60 million are medium term. On top of this, we're also working presently to do some improve the profile of our debt, and we're working on some transactions for around $100 million. But we have been explaining in the last call. We haven't closed any of it yet. We are analyzing between two options that we have to get $100 million that will be just to improve the profile of the debt maturity, not incremental ones.
Okay. All right. So the 200, just to be clear again, just the 240 million you drew down is you're holding it as cash. You're not using it to settle existing obligation yet, correct?
Can you repeat?
Yeah. So the $240 million that you said you drawn down, that's sitting with you as cash. It hasn't been used to settle existing debt obligation yet. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. Most of it. No, I think $30 million have been used, or $20 million have been used.
$30 million have been used. Okay.
So we have done three things, okay? So let me, because I want also to acknowledge our treasury, our finance and treasury people, no? First, we have refinanced some short term. This is not included here, but we have refinanced around 150, 200 million. We have gotten new borrowings, which is this number. And also we are working in a medium term structure to improve our debt maturity. So it's a three approach strategy.
Okay, thanks. The other question I have is on what's your cash burn? What's your monthly cash burn at the moment? You know, assuming things stay the way they are, I mean, you mentioned that you're running at 20-30% of normal levels. Does that mean you're still kind of operating to a certain level? I just want to understand what you mean by that. And if you're operating at 20-30% of normal levels, if things remain that way, what would be your monthly cash burn?
Yeah. So our operating costs are around the $20 million, no, but not, some of it will not happen at these low levels of income and sales, no. But it's in the range of $17 million, more or less. Or $16 million every month, which is operating expenses, not fixed operating expenses. It is around $50 to $60 million. Excuse me, and that would be, no. On top of that, we also need to pay some payables that we had in the next month. But regarding expenses, it will be in the range of $15 to $16 million. No, and we are working in expenses control. That, as I mentioned in the call,
it is it will have an impact. In April, it was a mostly it will have an impact of a 10-15% reduction.
Got it. Yeah, I got that point. So you said $50 to $60 million is your fixed expenses per month, correct?
15 to 16. Okay.
Oh,
and 15 on top
to
of 16. That, we have around
okay.
to 16, and on top of that, we have 2 million financial expenses, no?
Okay. Got it. And am I correct that you're running at 20 to 30% of your normal level, which means you're still servicing clients? Is that correct? Or is it zero?
No, 20 to 30, because we have still some customers that have been needing some parts. We also have a company that is selling some of the protection, personal protection equipment. So it's in the range of, really March was probably better. The second quarter, the second half of March was better because we still had the energy of the first half. And in April, it can be more in the range of 20%, no?
Okay, got it. And the last question for me is
in May, I cannot give you yet what's going to happen in May because we are still waiting to learn if we can start some operations on the 4. The government said that maybe in the 4, some industries can start to operate partially, gradually, and we might go with them. Otherwise, it would be on the 11th. But at the same time, you know, in the past, the shutdown has been postponed. I don't think at this moment it is postponable more than May 11th. It's too much, really, no? So we are expecting that we go back in the 11th, definitely, maybe in the 4th, but in none of those two cases it's going to be full, no? And also our customers will need to go back to operations, taking people up to the sites again. We'll say it's not in a 24-hour event, no?
Yeah. Okay, thanks. And then you also made a comment about reducing monthly expenses by 10 to 15% based on, you know, all the cost reduction plans that you have, about 110 per year. What would that, and then you change your guidance from, you know, double-digit revenue growth to now minus 10%, which is understandable. But in terms of margins, how should we think about margins given that you're reducing costs, but your revenue is also going to drop? Is margin going to be stable, or do you think margin will decline given the high level of fixed costs? You probably have
Yeah, so our gross margins, we expect them to be stable, and operating margins will decline a little bit because we have our expenses are going to be 1.5% higher on sales than before, no?
Your expenses will be what? Say again?
So even though we are reducing expenses in 110 million soles, no? This is going to be seen from May on, so the impact in March and April with very low sales or second half March and April with very low sales, that will increase our operating expenses to sales on 1.5% more or less, no? Yeah.
Okay.
And this is according to our view today. And, of course, we will have our next call next week for the first quarter results. Probably our understanding of the new environment will not be so much different from today, so we will have another call probably through May, no?
Yeah, correct. That's understandable. I don't want to hog the phone. I have more questions, but I'll get back on the queue. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you again.
And our next question comes from Luis Pardo with Compass Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mariela. Before I get to the questions, I want to thank you because within the Peruvian universe, you are the only one that has done a public call twice within this period and is very appreciated for us investors. Thank you. And my question is
thank you.
regarding regarding Quellaveco, I saw Anglo American put out a force majeure on Quellaveco, stopping the situation there for around 3 months. I don't know if you could give us a caller there.
Yeah. And thank you for participating and for acknowledging the effort here. So yeah, Quellaveco had to close the mine, as most mines. They have only kept critical activities, no? And I think this is public information that they had like 15,000 people up there in the construction activity. So taking these 15,000 people back is not something you can do in one day. It implies many suppliers. So our understanding is that they want to make sure they have all the protocols and everything online to go back in a safely manner. And I understand also they had some equipment, not ours, I don't know what other equipment from the plant probably that has some delay. So they have suspended for 90 days the construction. And this is starting, I think it's, I don't know if it's in the 22 or the 24th. So last week when they made the release. So this will take us by the end of July, no? The impact it has on us is that we will postpone the delivery of 5 to 6 trucks that were to be delivered this year. And that's approximately $30 to $35 million that will be moved to 2021. So the whole schedule will be moved 90 days. So we will move from 2020 to 2021, $30 to $35 million, and the same will happen from 21 to 22. But at the end, 21 figure is not going to change. The only change will be in 2020 figure for $30 to $35 million. Okay.
Right, and that is included in the negative growth of 10% that you've discussed, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to bug you too much. You were bombarded before, so I'll keep it short. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from David Duarte with Credicorp Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mariela. Thank you for the call. I just have a quick question here on the segment of spare parts and services. I'm just trying to understand how is it working during the lockdown. Do you have like already? You're operating at least in the mines, or I get you're not operating on your facilities, but do you have operations working in the mines at this moment?
Yeah. So thank you for participating in the question. So we have some people in the mines all together in the range of 300 people, which is 10%. And this all together, no, in all the companies or people in the mines and in the shops, no, only 300 people, 250 people. So this is very, very low compared to what we have usually, and this is because the mines are not fully operating. They have critical activities only. There's one company that is operating because they have a town inside the mine, so they are completely isolated. They are almost operating, I don't know, 80% capacity, something like that. But in average, when we see the fleet, the mining fleet, in average, it's operating at 35%, no? So we have some people in the mines to service the customers in these limited activities. And we have very, very few people in our warehouses when we need to deliver some parts. And now we are completing also the assembly of some units precisely to Quellaveco, that we are completing the logistics in our facility in Arequipa, but it's very limited, no? However, what we have been doing is preparing ourselves to come back. Each of our companies have a protocol. We gave guidelines from the corporation, and each company has defined protocols, very precise ones for each of our core activities. making this preparation of an equipment to finalize the logistics in one of our facilities is also allowing us to prove the protocols. We also have a logistic company, Fargo Line, who has kept in operations because they complete the logistic activity in the country, which is excluded. And they have also been proving and completing these protocols to operate. So, yeah, we have very little people in our shops and warehouses just completing logistic activities or delivering parts that our customers need for critical events, and also a very low group of persons in the mines. Some mines are completely closed, They moved everyone out of the mine. Most of them have critical activities going on.
That's perfect. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from Diego Albuquerque with Onyx. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Mariela, and thanks very much for the call and for your efforts on dealing with this situation. My first one is regarding your receivables. Just want to have an idea or how is the collection of receivables, if you are seeing any requests for postponing or any early signs of delinquency on your receivables. And the second one would be on your obligations in terms of debt for the short term. I understand that you have risen a substantial amount of cash in this few weeks. Just want to understand on the other side of the balance sheet, what do you still have to pay down debt for the next maybe 6 months? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Piero. Thank you for participating and for your question. Regarding the receivables, we need to point out that we have been receiving payments from mining companies, you know, which also represent us, which represent, as you know, not only important part of ourselves, but also of our collection. You know, Ferreira has received more than $80 million during the shutdown. So they are paying very well. And in construction and other sectors, they are asking for some renewals or some rescheduling, no? Not only to us, but also to CAP Financial, who has undergone a very active campaign to refinance, which is a very good thing because they're building loyalty and acknowledging something that is happening, not waiting for customers to call. Also, Caterpillar has been a little bit aggressive, not as we have been, but we are receiving requests from customers and we are reprogramming some. But the main portion of our receivables, which is in mining, we have received them very well. No, I don't know if Patricia is with us in the call. She can reinforce this or give more information that she might have on this topic on the receivables. Patricia.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yes, Mariela. Can you hear me?
Yes, we listen you well.
Okay. Yes, regarding construction, what we have been looking with our subsidiaries, with Ferreiros and Unimac, they have an effectiveness in collection of more or less 30%. All other customers are asking for some postponed and the installment that are due on April and May. And regarding mining, we have received, or we are collecting very well from our mining customers.
Good, thank you. And I don't know if we got the second part of your question is if we're going to reduce the debt in the next month. If I got it well, yes. What our expectation is that as we go back to normal levels of operations, most of this cash that we have borrowed now can be paid back. No, and as I answered to Sunde's question. The medium-term portion, most probably we'll keep it, and we will pay only short terms, no? I don't know if that was your question, if we're going to reduce debt in the following month.
No, actually, the question was
Mariela,
how much you have to pay down in the next 6 to 12 months. How much of your debt expires in the next 6 or 12?
Yeah. So we're still in the $300 million range as we were for 2020. Now that we are finalizing April, the next 12 months is again $300 million, but $100 million of it is precisely funds that we have borrowed now. So if the business comes back to normal levels, we can pay that down. And on top of that, we are working on this medium-term structure for $100 million. So from the $300 million that are coming due in the next 12 months, I think that $100 million can show to be excess cash that we can pay back, and also we have $100 million of a medium-term structure that will improve our maturities.
Mariela, maybe I can add that for May, we have all the refinancing ready on place. We are going to have the money to refinance all May installments. In June, July, and August, we have a very small debt, in average 1,000, that is very small. And we have our due date on September. We have the to refinance that in September, but for the next 3 months, we are very confident that we are going to have the cash to pay all these debts, these short-term debts.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
And we will take our next
Thank
question.
Thank you,
Thiago. We will take our next question from Juan Pablo Brosset with Credit Corp Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mariela and Patricia. Thank you very much for hosting the call. I just have a question regarding something you mentioned during the call, that you expect to start operations sometime in May at a 20 to 30% capacity. I'm wondering, what are your expectations regarding how this capacity is going to be met? Is it going to be every business line operating at 20 or 30 capacity, or is it going to be, for example, only one line of business, for example, spare parts and services operating at a 60 to 70% capacity, which would bring down consolidated capacity to 20 to 30.
Thank you. Thank you for participating and for the call. The 20 30% is what we are operating in during the shutdown, okay? So second half March and April. For May, we're expecting... for May and June, we're expecting 50% more or less of what was expected, and then we go increasing every month. For by August, September, we're expected to be to normal levels. Okay, so 2030 is not in May, is what we're seeing in the shutdown, but in May, June, more in the range of 50%, and we think that. Pearl support will be back at higher levels sooner, and then customers will need to re-evaluate what's going to be their investment through the year. And again, mining is completely different from construction. You know, mining is going to revamp faster than construction, and in construction also it will depend on how much of the government program to boost growth will depend on infrastructure creation, which we expect will happen. No?
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we have a follow-up from... No, it looks like the participant... remove himself from the queue, but if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. And we will take our next question from Daniel Rojas with HDI. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question and for you guys taking the opportunity to answer all of our questions. Going back to the great financial crisis in 2008 and how clients shifted from buying new equipment to spare parts and services. Have you seen a shift in how clients might shift their mixes going forward, and should we expect spare parts and services to continue growing more? Thank you.
Hello, Danielle. Thank you for participating and for your call. I didn't understand the last four words. What are we expecting to grow more? But in general terms, we're not seeing a trend from new to rental or the other way. So we think the market as of now is somewhat stable on those two preferences. So we're not seeing a shift right now. You mentioned something about third-party services. I think at the end,
My question is the point of my question is if we should expect a shift in how people perceive the business and how they will break down their capex, and instead of looking to buy new equipment, they could rent more services, rent more equipment. I'm just trying to understand what shift in behavior should we expect from clients.
Yeah, we are not expecting a shift in that regard. No, this is a different event. It's not a macroeconomic origin event. Of course, it will have some impact. No, but it didn't start as that. And if they have the demand, and again, construction of mine brings an important demand. So for customers, they have their equipment there. So it's like we awake again from going to sleep, and they're going to use the fleets they have. And whatever needs they were already anticipating to continue to serve the construction of a mine or to serve the infrastructure, the new infrastructure, I think it's going to be the same that we were seeing before, no? The level of fleet that there was in the country and the level of utilization was not generating a significant increase in rental demand. So we're not expecting a significant shift.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it appears that we have no further questions at this time. I will now like to turn the program back to Mrs. Garcia for any closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Well, so once again, I want to thank you all for participating in our conference call and for your continuous interest in the company. For us, for management, and for the company in total, it's very important to get shareholders and investor interest and also to accompany us in these challenging times. In case you have any additional questions or any need for information, please don't hesitate to contact us. Both Lizzie Tamayo and Patricia have been here on the call, and they are ready to take any further inquiries. But we will see you next week. Just after hanging this call, we're going to launch the invitation to our call next Thursday to comment on first quarter results. Thank you very much again, and it was very nice to have you here in this meeting, and have a good day.